Good evening. Our first reading will be from the book of Psalms, chapter 38, and it can be found on page 554. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath, for your arrows have pierced me and your hand has come down upon me. Because of your wrath, there is no health in my body. My bones have no soundness because of my sin. My guilt has overwhelmed me like a burden too heavy to bear. My wounds fester and are loathsome because of my sinful folly. I am bowed down and brought very low. All day long I go about mourning. My back is filled with searing pain. There is no health in my body. I am feeble and utterly crushed. I groan in anguish of my heart. All my longings lie open before you, O Lord. My sighing is not hidden from you. My heart pounds. My strength fails me. Even the light has gone from my eyes. My friends and companions avoid me because of my wounds. My neighbors stay far away. Those who seek my life set their traps. Those who would harm me talk of my ruin, and all day long they plot deception. I am like a deaf man who cannot hear, like a mute who cannot open his mouth. I have become like a man who does not hear, whose mouth can offer no reply. I wait for you, O Lord. You will answer, O my Lord, my God. For I said, do not let them gloat or exalt themselves over me when my foot slips. For I am about to fall, and my pain is ever with me. I confess my iniquity. I am troubled by my sin. Many are those who are my vigorous enemies. Those who hate me without reason are numerous. Those who repay my good with evil slander me when I pursue what is good. O Lord, do not forsake me. Be not far from me, O my God. Come quickly to help me, O Lord, my Savior. Our reading, gospel reading, is from the book of John, chapter 18, verses 28 through 30. And in honor of the gospel, please rise. Jesus before Pilate. Then the Jews led Jesus from Caiaphas to the palace of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanness, the Jews did not enter the palace. They wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and asked, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If he were not a criminal," they replied, "we would not have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," the Jews objected. This happened so that the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the kind of death he was going to die, would be fulfilled. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "What is truth?" Pilate asked. With this he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. Here ends our reading.
Thank you, Rochelle. Please be seated. And Colleen? Julie? You got those microphones working?
I think so.
Okay.
Is it?
Yep, okay. We're good. Okay. Well, Let's pray. Father, as we talk, we ask that you, through your Spirit, would guide our conversation, always to point us to the cross, to point us to Jesus. And we ask that in his name. Amen. Well, as we were talking a little bit before, I asked them both if they were nervous, and they said yes. And I said, good, I'm nervous too. Because they teach you at the seminary and the preaching classes where they're teaching you how to preach, is they say this to you. The Sunday morning that you wake up and you're not nervous is the morning you shouldn't preach. So it's good that we're all nervous. Okay, and we're just going to rely on the Spirit to guide our conversation tonight. We're going to be looking at, we've looked at Eve, we've looked at Ruth, we've looked at Anna. Each of the three women coming up to tonight has had a name. But the lady in front of us this evening, we don't know her name. But we do know of her faith. Let me just read to you this verse from Luke. And we'll find it here. I need to turn back one page. There we go. Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." You know, she's a remarkable woman, and again, we don't know her name, and I don't know if you've are wondering, but there's another instance in the New Testament in Jesus' life where another woman comes and does much the same thing as does this woman. And her name we know is Mary. But these are two different occasions, two different occurrences in the life of Jesus. This one took place much earlier in his ministry. The other one that's recorded in Matthew and Mark and John, those took place really very close to Jesus' last week of life, to his suffering and death on the cross. But this woman that comes to Jesus, the story as you have it, and if you want to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 7, this is on page 1023. And it's just under the heading of Jesus anointed by a sinful woman. And Jesus has been invited to the home of a man by the name of Simon. And he's hosting a meal for Jesus. And there's this woman there who has a past, a reputation. And she proceeds to wash the feet of Jesus with her tears and wipe them with her hair. In contrast to Simon the host, who does absolutely nothing by way of showing Jesus any hospitality whatsoever. And you ever think to yourself about somebody? Yeah, we do, don't we? We see somebody at the grocery store, or we see somebody there, and we think to ourselves. And that's what Simon was doing to this woman. He was thinking to himself that if Jesus really truly knew who this woman was, he would be having nothing to do with her. And Jesus then calls him out and goes on to tell a story about two people, one who had been forgiven a little and one who had been forgiven a lot. And he asks then Simon the question, which one loved more? And he said, well, of course, the one who had been forgiven a lot. And then he goes on to point to this woman and say, see her? The reason she loves much is because she knows my forgiveness. She's been forgiven a lot. That's her story. And I'm just curious, what struck you about this story, or what impresses you about this woman? Julie, what?
What impresses me about the woman?
Yeah.
So I think what impresses me most about her is her strength and her faith.
Yeah. Yeah, her strength, I mean, think of it. She knew, I think, what she was going to face. But you know what? This is something I came to learn this week. She was there waiting for Jesus. Because when Jesus talks to Simon in this story, he says, you know, Simon, when I entered your house, you didn't do anything for me. But since I walked into your house, she has been. So she was there waiting for him. And knowing full well the reception she would receive. She'd experienced that, I'm sure, before. So yeah, her courage, her faith. Colleen, how about you? What strikes you about this lady?
Well, she was an unknown woman to us. We don't know her name, but apparently, at least the Pharisee, the one who was hosting, he knew what kind of woman she was, because he asked Jesus, if you knew what kind of woman she was, you wouldn't allow her to be doing this to you. I would have thought she would have been full of shame and feeling unworthy and sinful and like an outcast. And yet she was bold. I mean, what boldness that was to go into that house and pour perfume on Jesus' feet and wipe his feet with her hair and cry.
Yeah, because she was convinced that
she was not worthy.
She was not worthy, but what was she convinced of? What?
She must have known that he was able to bring some healing to her, that he would not reject her, that he would accept her, that he would, he had set people free from demonic possession, and that's what she needed. She needed freedom from what was bothering her.
Yeah. I'm going to add to that.
Yeah.
Peace and forgiveness.
Yeah.
That's what he brought to her.
Yeah. And that's why she was there, and she had seen enough to know that that's what he was giving out. And way before Jesus went to the cross, she was convinced of him being the Savior and the one who would give her that peace and that forgiveness to help her overcome what was giving her that sense of shame, which was her past. How do you do that? How do you deal with your past? You know, we all have a past. And Colleen referenced it. We don't know her name. I think everybody that day knew her name. They didn't only just know her reputation. They knew who she was. The gospel writer Luke knew her name. But I think there he's using some discretion. And in fact, showing us an illustration of forgiveness and allowing us to insert ourselves into this story by not sharing her name, so that you and I can put our names in there, because we all have a past. You want to talk a little bit about you dealing with a past?
I can. So we talked a little bit before we had service tonight, but I had told Pastor, you know, I have a past just like we all do. And something that has helped me get through things and people that have hurt me in my past is to pray for them. You have a hard time not letting go of that when you're praying for the person that hurt you.
Yeah, yeah. So being a person of grace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Colleen.
Well, the question that I was trying to answer was, how did I make peace with my past? And there were several steps that I had, and one of them was I became aware of how deep of the darkness was that was inside of me at that time. I had anger and rage toward my children, and I hated myself. I cried out to God. That was the next step. And he heard me, and he brought me to a place where I could receive prayer from people. And I could see Jesus in them as they hugged me and welcomed me. And then they prayed for me. And I came to know that the Holy Spirit would give me the power I needed to live the way that God wanted me to live and the way that I really wanted to live. I didn't want to live that way with that anger. And they anointed me with oil, and tears flowed until I didn't care that they were dripping off my chin. And then they told me I needed to forgive. I needed to forgive people who had hurt me, and that was the hardest thing I could do, was forgive. But they were right. When I did choose to forgive, that heavy burden on my own shoulders fell off, and I had peace.
Yeah. You know, as you were sharing that, and you maybe, let's ask, why was this woman here? What really brought her here? I think it was the Lord. Just as you talked about, you know, the Lord drew me to this place. The Spirit guided me to this place. What enabled this woman with such a past to overcome all those feelings, which would have just, I think, froze her in her place and made her say, oh, this is crazy. Why would, who's going to accept me? Who am I to think that the Spirit's guidance brought her to this place of grace, just as he brought you, just as he brings us all to a place of grace. No wonder we sing Amazing Grace. And to think of that, yeah, and you know, that healing power of Jesus that she sought. You talked about that, mm-hmm. and finding it in prayer. And you talked about that, and finding it in words and in the anointing of oil, that healing, and in the encouragement of others. Where can we find it? We're back to the cross again, aren't we? Even though it happened long ago, the healing power and peace of the cross is just as present and just as active today as it was when this woman got there early, waited for Jesus, and received that healing, that forgiveness. It is just because he is just as alive today to provide this as he was back then, isn't he? Yeah. What was her faith? Jesus commends her for her faith, doesn't he? He says, your faith has saved you. How would you sum up what you think her faith was?
Well, I think it started out with being desperate.
Okay.
And yeah. Having heard that Jesus was someone who could heal people, and then the Holy Spirit brought her there. But I mean, for me, it was a friend invited me.
Okay.
And so it was, I wouldn't have gone if it wouldn't have been for that friend. But I was not quite like her, because she was so much more bold, and her faith was a lot greater than mine was at that time.
Okay. All right. Julie, any thoughts there on that as you think about her faith?
I think that she was just, like I said before, really strong in her faith. She had a lot of strength in it. She wholeheartedly believed.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and I think so, and I think where you see it, where you see your words and your insight into this woman, is in her actions. She went up, and without asking, started touching the feet of Jesus. And I mean, talk about personal. With her tears and with her hair. Her faith demonstrated there's She was absolutely certain this man would not turn her away. He would not reject her. And Jesus affirmed that for her, didn't he? Lifting her up for you and me to see, so that you and I can have the assurance, what kind of welcome will we, sinners, people with reputations, receive from Jesus when we turn to him? It'll be the same, won't it? One of welcome, one of love, one of grace, one of forgiveness, one of acceptance. You know, this story, in a way, is repeated another time on the cross with another person whose name we don't know, although you got to know, everybody in town knew the name of that penitent thief, didn't they? But we're not given that name. And there again, you know, I can see Simon at the cross, and we're going to talk, let's talk about this woman at the cross in just a second. I can see Simon at the cross looking at Jesus and saying, if he knew who that guy was and what he had done, he wouldn't be saying to him, today you'll be with me in paradise. What do you think of this woman? If she was at, Colleen, when I raised this earlier, you said, well, sure she was.
Where else would she be?
Yeah. Where else? Yeah.
Lord, to whom shall we go? You are the only one that has eternal life.
Or there's a hymn that we can sing in Lent. Drawn to the cross, which you have blessed with healing, peace for souls distressed. In you I find my peace and rest. Christ crucified, I come. That still is invitation to us tonight, isn't it? As we look at this woman who was bold, she came without an invite. Simon did not invite her. She was nowhere close to being on the guest list. And yet, somebody else invited her, and she accepted and came. And even though she washed Jesus' feet, who left that house washed?
She did, didn't she?
She left washed with his forgiveness. I think too, and I didn't ask you this before, it's in my cheat sheet here, but
trick question.
And it really, maybe all of you, maybe you know. So this is Shepherd of the Pines Lutheran Church. We are a part of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. A lot of us are German, kind of staunch folks, aren't we? I don't think I'd call this lady staunch. There was a lot of emotion to her worship, wasn't there? Mm-hmm. A lot of feeling to her worship, wasn't there? I mean, let's just talk a little bit about that. The connection of emotion over what God is doing to us and what God did for her, and our worship, her worship. I mean, she let the emotion show freely and flow freely. Any thoughts on that for you personally, as you worship, when your heart's being stirred? Or
well, the last thing I wrote down on here is, now forgiveness is my favorite thing. And there's a song. He lifted me up from the miry clay. He planted my feet on the King's highway. And that is the reason why I sing and I shout. For Jesus came down, 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 and he lifted me up.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Any thoughts from any of you about just like what Colleen shared and the heartfelt emotion? Julie, any last thoughts here about this unnamed woman?
I don't think so.
What will you take away from her? What do you take away from her?
Maybe I do have
something.
Yeah, it's okay.
You had talked a little bit about our faith and our belief in everything. John, I'm just going to share a personal story.
That's okay. This is a conversation.
So I prayed for a really long time to have a child. And I didn't get pregnant with Cecilia until after I was 30. And it was after I was 30. And when I was 30, I had a complete meltdown that I was not going to have a child. My pregnancy was really rough, really rough. And there was a lot of things that happened during my pregnancy that I came really close to losing my daughter. And I prayed throughout that whole pregnancy, and I don't know if you've ever seen it, but I have a t-shirt that says, "Look back and thank God, look forward and trust God." Because there are so many times that in the moment, we have that fear. We go through struggles. We deal with what we're dealing with. But then when we look back, we see God's presence with us during that time.
Yeah.
And I think this woman, with her strength in her faith, like Colleen said, there's no reason why she would be at that cross.
Yeah.
When Jesus was crucified, she would be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Colleen, any last thoughts to share tonight?
I thought I already did.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I feel done.
Yeah. And she's a beautiful woman who someday we'll meet, won't we? In heaven. And then we'll know her name. And we'll be able to thank her for her faith that has enriched our faith, because she has pointed us back to Jesus, hasn't she? She said, "He's it. He's the one. You can come to him. He won't turn you away. He'll love you graciously. He will. He absolutely will." Well, let's pray. We look forward to the day, Heavenly Father, when we'll know her name, because then we'll be before you, Lord Jesus, and it's all because of you, your life, your suffering, your death on our behalf assures us of your love and your forgiveness and your grace, no matter what our past may be. And so always we pray that you draw us to you, even as you drew her and washed her clean of her sin, so draw us and wash us clean as well. We pray and we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you both.